COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Well, Smiley, we're still decompressing from the Masters. Actually, where we are right now, you and I individually, I'm sure we're decompressing from the Masters in some way. Physically, at time of recording, we are still in, this is our last act in the Augusta, Georgia
Masters
Airbnb.
Masters week will not die.
It will Masters not die. Week will not die. And I'm kind of glad that it is that way because we had a ton of fun here this week. I'm sad. I'm having a little FOMO, leaving tomorrow morning. Mm. But here's the good news is, in addition to us teeing up the episode you're about to watch or listen to in this house, you're about to get something we recorded this week in this very house with the special guest that we're super excited about, Grant Horvat. And we're going to do that tee up with the help of our friends from Ahead, because one of the key parts of Ahead is trust-based relationships, okay? So Ahead builds and manages digital platforms that power the most successful organizations in the world. Their consultative approach, unmatched engineering, and innovative solutions combine to accelerate the impact of technology in every client that they serve. Ahead's long-standing relationships are built on outcomes and experience with both their clients and technology partners. And you can learn more about that at ahead.com. So Smiley, I feel like we got to sit down with Grant a little bit, talk to him, a little bit of a trust-based relationship for him there
totally.
With Grant this
and,
week.
And shout out to Ahead, especially weeks like this at the Masters. I know this episode is not Masters week, but still, we're so appreciative of all our sponsors, especially Ahead, to be able to do what we love to do, which is talk golf, travel on the road, get to see some of the best golf tournaments in the world. So we're just super appreciative. And of course, this episode with Grant Horvat, it was a banger. It unfortunately exceeded all of our expectations. Grant was fantastic. We had a great conversation, and I think everybody's going to love it. I know for all of you that watch YouTube, I'm sure you're very familiar with Grant. And for me, just getting to kind of go back and talk to him about the early days of how did you get to, you know, where you're getting a million a pop, a view on a YouTube video. And just overall kind of give him a sense of, you know, what's next for him, what he has coming up in the cooker. Also got to kind of get some feel on that too. So a lot of fun.
It's an interesting time for golf. And I can say this because Bob does sports, Robbie Berger, someone who Grant's collaborated with. But in a week we're coming off of, Rory, thanks for all you do for YouTube, you know, with this Masters win, huge for YouTube. It's really interesting to unpack the YouTube side of golf with a guy like Grant who's making huge, huge waves in that space, and a guy who just is really immersed in the art of doing that and interested in the numbers, interested in the strategy, but most of all interested in playing really cool golf with cool people in a lot of cool places. So let's get right into it. Grant Horvat, here we go, and we appreciate Ahead for presenting this conversation.
Welcome back to another episode of The Smiley Show. And this is one Smiley and I are very excited about because we're joined by a special guest here, Grant Horvat. Grant, I could, you know, use a lot of identifiers for you. I think the most recent, most notable one is winner of the Creator Classic on the iconic 17th hole at TPC Sawgrass. And we're recording this during Masters week. Mm-hmm. Got the par three contest today. Little kids are running around out there. And I think maybe the best place to start is to go all the way back to the beginning of your journey. Because I know your dad was a PGA pro.
Yeah.
And just your journey in golf. What are some of the first memories you have of picking up a golf club, learning how to play the game with your dad?
Yeah, it's funny because I grew up being around the game so much and I actually didn't get into golf until I was 13 years old. So it took a while. Like, I remember my dad, you know, him being a pro, he was telling me that I was way behind. Mm. And I wanted to play in college right after I started to get the bug. And he's like, you have a ton of work to do to catch up. Because all these kids have been playing since they're like, you know, 6 and 7 years old. And they're so good by the time they're 13.
That's right.
And yeah, I was shooting hundreds, 90s. And I was trying to play catch up. But yeah, no, it Definitely started to grind after that, and loved the game ever since then.
Did you play other sports growing up before?
Did. Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't think. Boy.
Well, you're tall. I mean, I was, well, my first instinct would have said you
depends
like,
on the sports.
You definitely hooped maybe a little bit.
Yeah, so I played basketball.
Okay.
Yeah, I played basketball, but I don't know. I think when you just play golf, you like, I was watching videos of me like running when I was young, and I actually looked like kind of like an athlete.
Okay.
Look at myself now and I'm like, what happened? Like, where did we go wrong? But yeah, no, I did play basketball until I was like 13 years old.
All right. So you said hundreds and 90s and this around 13 years old when you get started. So when did we start to see improvement? You said you wanted to go play college golf. I mean, to make a college golf team, you need to be breaking 90. So yeah. Where did we finally kind of get over the hump here?
Yeah, no, we just put in a ton of time and a ton of work. My dad being a pro, we had the correct fundamentals right off the rip. So it was like,
good place
he was a big grip, like all about the grip. And you see Scotty
Scheffler. You're Scotty. I was about to say, yeah. You're Scotty.
No, like my dad was obsessed with the grip. Like I feel like truly, I think my dad would walk up to Rory McIlroy on the range right now and check his grip. Or like, if he saw Rory.
He's got a good grip. Like, he's got a really good grip.
I know he's got a good grip, but my dad would be like, I think we can get it like more in the fingers or something. He would like actually like take his
hands. Yeah. All right. So how did he tell you how to grip the golf club?
So he was real big about getting it in the fingers. So he always wanted to make sure it went from this little crease here into here. So on this angle.
That's right.
And then it was always slightly strong. So like a little bit strong. You could see a couple knuckles. So he wanted that like basically textbook.
You don't want to grip it in the palm.
Right. So he was you know, when people start golfing, they immediately put it in the palm.
Yes.
And then the club like rolls and they kind of boat. Like they're like, you ever see like people just start?
You know, guys like Colin Morikawa who bow the crap out of their wrists, they typically have weak grips.
Right.
They don't grip it as much in the fingers. I'm sure they do a little bit, but
I think they do it in a different way though. Yeah. They at least still like hint. I think like when you start out, you kind of go like, it like it's so heavy when it's in the paw. They just like dead shut and they can't even get it airborne. So my dad, you know, you can kind of see it on the range when someone's gripping it like up in here. But hey, there's been people that have gripped it in the palm, like Mo Norman. And I think Bryson's a little bit more in the palm.
His grip is surprisingly weak.
It is.
Like when I looked at it at US Open last year, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It blew me away. I mean, he's basically gripping, I mean, seven grips. These things are massive, these jumbo grips that he has. But still, it shocked me. It was like on this side of it. I was like, oh my God, and he gets a draw.
Yeah. I went to Albany with him for like 2 days when we were filming. And I was hitting his clubs and I loved them. Like,
really?
Yeah. It was like, I started to hit them. Like I was like one after the other. And this was like a year and a half ago now. He was playing actually pings at the time. And, I was hitting them so good. And I was like, I don't think I can do it.
So was this pre, you know, roll bulge or whatever? Wasn't that here last year at the Masters, I think?
Yeah, or like, I think that's like is that a Japanese company?
A Voto or something? I've got no idea.
When I tried to like do research on it, because I was covering them for the Masters last year, I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to explain this to people?
And we tried poorly, but we got it across. So this is kind of fascinating, Grant, because I think this segues into something you're doing more of right now, the Grant Teaches Golf sort of vertical in the YouTube space. And is this the whole teaching thing, is that born out of the relationship you had with your dad? Have you pursued other sort of educational pieces of becoming a PGA pro on the side to make this whole thing go? Or how did this whole thing come about?
Yeah. So that's pretty minimal at this point. I had a second channel. So we have our main channel where we put all of our videos that are like our biggest videos. And we've gotten very, very selective over time. And then we have our second channel, which was the teaching channel, but we've actually now changed the name. So now it's just Grant Horvath Golf 2. So it's now like, it's kind of just content that it's not quite our main channel. And so now it's more, you know, I've kind of gotten away from the teaching per se. I still love to do it. I think it's really hard with how much focus we put into the main channel right now to even have time to go do teaching videos.
Yeah. Could you fix Bob's swing? Just curious.
I've tried. yeah. He actually has a coach. So, you know.
Oh, he does have a coach.
He does have a coach. So he's had a coach for like the last year, I think.
Because he plays on, you know, he plays in front of so many people that watch. At some point, you got to think, God, like, I need to work at this.
So he actually, he told me the other day. So he just got a membership in Jupiter at a really nice course. And he told me the other day he thinks he's hit more balls than Ricky Fowler and Jupiter this year. Like, he has been going.
Ricky doesn't hit that many balls.
Yeah, yeah. He's been grinding on the range. Now, like, he showed up with that drill. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, I saw it this morning. Woke up and it was like one of the first things that popped up, and he's literally looking backwards and he's just whoosh.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's funny, he would actually hit it great doing that, because like Bob, when it goes bad, he actually hits shanks, so he hits it off the hosel. Like,
scary.
I think Bob struggles with the idea of actually like releasing the club,
yeah,
and kind of letting the hands turn over. I think he likes to hold on to the hosel, like, and expose the hosel.
You explained it great though, talking about how he, like, his chest doesn't keep turning and then his arms just basically collapse. And then from there, it's just like,
Yeah. And it's hard, 'cause like when we're doing those break 80s together and I'm like, I'm trying to coach him through it. He's already got thoughts from his coach, like, that he's working with. And then it's like, if I give him thoughts, it's like, oh boy. So now he's got like, he doesn't even know what he's doing at that point. So I think it's more, I'm kind of wait. He's going to put in the time. He's going to keep working on his swing, but he's the best to be around. He's super fun to hang out with, and we have a great time filming. So, but yeah, he's definitely working really hard. And I feel like you said, though,
he's a great dude.
No, he's definitely gotten to the point, I can tell, that he's like, all right, I actually got to I got to get better at golf.
All right. So I thought it was just super interesting what you just said, talking about your main channel. You got another channel too. And I just kind of want to take it back even a little further, talking about when you leave college and you get into the content game, and you obviously catch some breaks along the way, but just looking back upon when you got started in this and now where you're selecting, like, which video is going to, you know, do a million plus views, pretty crazy to think about, right? When you got started in this thing, that now you're to a point where you're more recognizable than, oh God, the PGA Tour players, 99% of the PGA Tour. Like, that's pretty insane from probably where you started.
It is. Yeah. And it's, you know, I don't think we ever expected to be on this run we're currently on right now. I think we had the vision, me and Skylar, my videographer, like, we knew that it was possible. But yeah, for it to actually happen is one thing. And so, yeah, it's like, obviously, both of my managers right here really help a ton with like pulling off the next guest and whoever. But yeah, it's nothing we ever expected.
All right, what was your first big break in when you got started to where you saw this could actually be an avenue for you to make this a career?
Yeah, I mean, right out of college, being a part of Good Good was amazing.
Like, right out of college, you went straight into Good Good.
Well, it's actually with Garrett. So me and Garrett, GM Golf, we were kind of doing that together, him and I.
Okay, and you were still in school when this started?
So no, that's right when I graduated.
Got it.
So right when I graduated, straight out of college, Garrett used to actually come to my, college. And so we were friends before, content.
Now it makes sense, got it.
Yeah. So we were friends before content. And then, we started filming GM Golf videos together. You kind of knew like right there, because Garrett was already in this, like, he was one of the top dogs already. And so, yeah, it happened real quick. Like, him and I filming GM Golf videos together. We, like, people loved us together. And then joining Good Good was kind of unexpected. It just, like, worked out. I was living in the content house. So, yeah, it just all kind of, like, when you're a part of that, you're like, wow, this is, like, real. And people care. Gotcha. Like, it's the first time. I remember going to a golf tournament with Garrett, and there's, like, a line of, like, and this is, like, you know, 3-4 years ago, there's like a line of like 40 people, like trying to get a photo with them. And I'm like looking at this, and this is right when I'm getting to the space, and like, I'm still getting, there's people saying, Grant, what's up? And but it's like, I've only been in like a couple videos. So it's like, there's still people saying hi, but like Garrett was like, just wait, just like give it time. And this is gonna like happen to you. And I was like, there's no way, but
Have you fully adjusted to the fame yet?
Yeah, it is wild. It does take because we're continuing to grow pretty fast. So I think it's just getting more and more and more. And so it's definitely something you can't really prepare for. But it's, you know, every time I meet somebody that watches a video, I'm always going to say hi.
Right.
I'm always going to have time for them.
Is it interesting to think about where we are in terms of just the landscape of golf content, where, you know, there's a lot that's been reported on the whole Creator Classics and the whole Live thing,
yeah,
and what happened behind the scenes there. But just at a treetops level, the fact, the amount of leverage you all have as content creators relative to guys who are playing professionally on the PGA Tour, that to me blows my mind.
Yeah, it feels. I mean, we've always said, me and Sky, it's like, I can go film with a Live player and I can go film with a PGA Tour player. And it feels like when you post it on YouTube, people truly just don't care like anymore. Like, they're, you know, when Live just came out, it was very heightened and everybody was had an opinion. I feel like now, and that's the thing, like I love to go play with PGA Tour players. I just filmed with JT. That was amazing. And then we'll go like the next week and go film with John Rahm. And it's like, people are just like, when they're on YouTube, it's like this middle ground right now where we're kind of like in between. So it is interesting.
Has that been difficult for you at all in this? Because obviously the PGA Tour and the Live, you know, they have their own battles of trying to figure out how these two are going to work together. And like you said, YouTube content creators, you know, they kind of have their space right now where they feel like they can do both. Mm-hmm. Has it been difficult for you managing that from a business perspective of, you know, you are a councilman on the creator council here with the PGA Tour. Yeah, and then of course you just did Live Duels. But for you, has it been difficult kind of managing those two different sides, knowing that they don't necessarily get along that great?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I have a wonderful team around me, so they kind of, you know, I'm not making all these.
You just
decisions.
Play. You get to just play golf.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not that easy, but yeah, we kind of all talk and we kind of know, you know, the next move that we want to make. But yeah, it is. It's definitely an interesting place to be. It feels like we're kind of in this like middle ground right now. And I truly don't have like, I'm never going to pick a side, because I love filming with the guys on the PGA Tour. Yeah. And I love filming with the guys on Live, and I'm friends with guys on the PGA Tour, and I'm friends with guys on Live. So it's, I'm not going to pick sides. And I love where we're at right now in YouTube golf. It's like the perfect place to be.
To the extent that you can share, how does a major professional golf league's first venture into this space with the duels end up exclusively on your YouTube page? You're doing like a million plus views right out of the gates.
It's amazing. Probably shocked a lot of people when it popped up and it says just going to be on Grant Horvath's channel.
Yeah, I got a great team, I'll tell you that. I got some really good people. But no, it is a testament to just the work that, you know, we've all put in and growing the channel and how much pride we've taken in every single upload. I feel like when I stepped away from Good Good and went out on my own, I really had this like quality over quantity mindset it was like initial right away when I left. It was, I'm going to post the best possible videos and I'm not going to upload as much. Like, I'm going to upload less, but every single video, I want it to be great and I want people to love it and I want to put our heart and soul into it versus just uploading content just to get it up. Yeah. And I feel like people feel that. And so what I've always believed in is social media is all momentum. We've seen it with, you know, Bryson and everyone that's like, you can truly ride a wave of momentum. And where we're at right now, it's like exactly what we dreamed of. And you get your notification gang, I call it. Like, when you drop a YouTube video, people are like, boom, because they get the notification and they're on it. And to build that up takes time and it takes trust. And I feel like when you build that trust with your audience, they're ready to jump on the next video.
All right, well, take me behind the scenes here. You talked about your videographer, Skyler. And in the beginning, I'm sure it's just you two on a golf course, maybe him editing, you get the video out. Now we're talking about, you know, million plus views for Live Duels. Take me behind the scenes here with how big of a team it takes to get all this footage out. How many editors are there? You know, just how difficult is that process, especially with a short time frame?
So are you just talking about Live Duels?
Yeah, that, and maybe even the other videos that, just like the quality videos you put out now, how many folks have eyes on those videos?
Yeah. So we'll start with just our channel. So if we're just uploading like a JT 1v1, sometimes when you're playing against pros, their managers want to see the video. They want to make sure everything's good. That happens very rarely, though, it seems now. I feel like they trust us, which is really cool. But usually, like, JT didn't say anything that's, like, bad. But, I think the thing that's very different from us versus everyone else is it's just me and Sky and then my two managers. I don't have a giant team. I don't have six editors. Like, it is Sky and me. Mm. And so it's always been us for the last couple years. And
so you can edit?
I can't edit. He does everything.
He does everything.
Films and edits. So Sky is an absolute beast. But we'll, like, when we're shooting, we need more, like, people holding cameras, videographers. So we always bring out some people. We'll freelance some people. But Sky is the only guy that I use. He makes every thumbnail. We talk about titles together. And he's gotten so much better because when he first started, like, he was just getting into the YouTube golf world. Mm. And his editing has just progressed like crazy. And he takes so much pride in his work. And he lives and dies by, you know, every video that goes up. Like, he's putting tons of pride into that. And, like, I want to make the next big video. And so he's been killing it, too.
Our boy Jackson back here is getting That's so inspired, man. He's just come on, Jackson. He's like, man, that's going to be me.
Come on. Those shot tracers, baby. Good luck, man. You better learn After Effects. Oh, all right. Okay, there we go. Come on.
Well, just to take it back a little bit, I'm just curious. You talk about your progression of golf early on. Were you, you know, the type of kid that liked to make home movies and things like that? Like, were you interested in the content side of things early on?
So not really. I wanted to be a YouTuber. It's funny. I always wanted, like, I had this dream. I wanted to be, I started actually a fishing channel.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I remember,
do you have any clips of that? Can we roll those in?
No. It's like real bad. Like, this, people will look it up. They've already found it. But bring me
into one of your fishing channels. Like, would you bring us in the first couple seconds here? How would you introduce it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was like, so it was actually me and my uncle. And it was like, I'm G. And then he would say, I'm T. It was Team GT Fishing. Oh, I just leaked it. Gosh dang it. Yeah, you got me. That was good. That was good. I would say, I'm G. And then he would say, I'm T. And together we're Team GT. And we'd like do this. And it was the worst thing ever. I think I uploaded two videos and gave up. But I remember I got this GoPro. I was actually in college. I remember where I was vividly. I was actually at the library. And for some reason, I had this, like, inspiration that I was going to be a YouTuber, but it was going to be fishing. And so, like, I had my GoPro, and, like, I brought it on the boat every time me and my uncle went. And I was like, you know, this is going to take off. And, I, like I said, I posted, like, three videos. And
we're never caught the big fish.
Well, Dick, we actually caught a real nice one on camera, but it was just terrible. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. But, yeah. Fast forward, I started doing TikToks is where, like, the first time I started to, like, make content per se. I mean, it was all instructional stuff. So I was like, I saw people doing instructional TikToks, and I started to do that. And it was actually did pretty well in the beginning. And then fast forward, getting into the YouTube side of things, I, for some reason, like, I fell in love with just the art of YouTube. And the second I started, like, you know, when I got into the space and started to see how these videos were produced and all the little intricate things with thumbnails and titles, I started to really study it. Yeah. And then I just, like, I loved every second of it and, like, loved, I still to this day, like, thumbnails, titles, how you take a video and basically bundle it, because that's the most important thing.
100%. Distribution is more important sometimes than the content, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you had a great book and the covers not good. Yeah. People are usually not going to read it.
You got me.
I'll say, like, this is screaming stream song collab. You know, a little fishing, a little golf. Come on. I don't know why they haven't hit you up.
Well, I just was there.
And did they have you fish?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did a road trip.
Oh, okay. Well, then there we go. I need to catch up on this.
Bring back the fishing channel.
Yeah. All right. I like it. A little nostalgia.
I always thought about that.
I'm S, he's C, you're G. Come on.
I can't fish save my life. So this is perfect.
That's tough. I can't believe. Yeah. It's so bad. Like, it is. I can't even watch it. It's so bad. Like, there's, like, a marshmallow song going, like a little beat.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, what's happening?
We hope you are enjoying the Grant Horvat interview. And we are interrupting you for good cause here, because we're here to talk about House of Atlas and their shaving product, Smiley, of which I have right here. I'm going to hand you the calming aftershave first, followed by the precision shave cream, and the razor itself, sleek looking, and it's got, like, this little thing you can flip back right here to get into the tight places underneath your nose, your sideburns. A lot of stuff they got going on at House of Atlas, Smiley.
House of Atlas knows this episode is a banger, so we're super appreciative of them too. I'm going to try to do this ad read with this on my head the entire time. Odds say probably going to fall, but we're going to do it. And now for a limited time, they're offering 15%. If you're listening, it definitely fell off of my head. Your first order when you purchase any razor kit and the before and after set, which includes the Precision Shave Cream and Calmus Aftershave, use code SMILEY at houseofowas.com. That is houseofowas.com and promo code SMYLIE for 15% off, maybe 30 off at your new razor kit and before and after set. Stop wasting money time on shaving products and don't look good, aren't effective, it costs way too much. Visit houseofatlas.com today and might also be able to get 50% off the razor when you subscribe. We always say this, folks, like and subscribe. Help a brother out.
Like and subscribe to the YouTube page and the podcast, wherever you consume your podcast. And subscribe to Buying a Razor at houseofatlas.com. I'd say for a maiden voyage for reading the copy, well done there, SK.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not quite the Emmy performance because I would have needed the shaving
kit
really to stay on top of my head.
That would have really brought it home.
It made one word. But other than that, yeah, not a bad performance.
It's good enough to get you a good shave. And with that said, let's get you right back to the rest of our conversation with Grant Horvat.
Well, you're the second YouTuber we've had on our channel. We've had Wesley and George Bryan, which
I was just with them.
Yeah, I just interviewed them, I'd say a month ago. And first off, I've known Wesley forever and really even George a long time too. So I've kind of grown up playing golf with them over the last decade. And it was super interesting getting their perspective on a lot of things, but we really did talk a little bit about the Major Cut Series. Mm-hmm. And for me as a player, somebody who played professional golf and played in major championships, I find it very enticing because I think every person that's sitting on their couch always thinks of hypotheticals of, hey, what if you were the running back of the New York Giants? You got the same amount of carries as, we'll use Saquon Barkley as an example, who used to play there. How many yards would you get?
Right.
Well, let's use that in golf now. It's like, what if this really good player who's not a pro and he played, would he make the cut? I think it's a phenomenal idea. And I just kind of wanted to get your perspective of your favorite one y'all filmed and just how the idea came about.
Yeah. So exactly what you said is like the reason we did this. Cause like, I feel like people always debate like, what would I shoot and could I truly make the cut in a major? Mm. And like the conditions are not always exactly the same. We try and now film these cut series as close to the major as we can. I actually just left Quail Hollow.
Wow.
I will say that was a hard course. the video is not out yet, so I won't leak anything.
Good teaser.
Yeah, that was really difficult. But, I was actually talking with Wesley and George today, walking down the fairway, about how this series started, because I think in YouTube golf, to create a series and create value around a series where people are truly bought into it is very difficult. And I think, you know, this is just started as an idea. It was like, hey, we're going to go and see if we can make the cut after 36 holes at major championship venues. And like, we're going to have, I want the leaderboard. I remember always saying that to Sky. I'm like, can we have the leaderboard and see the names of all, like, you know, Phil Mickelson, Sergio, I want everyone's name and I want to see where my name is like in that. But it basically originated. So I had a series called The Cut and I was doing it by myself basically. And I was traveling to courses, seeing where I would finish. I only did two episodes. And I was just like seeing where I would place in a PGA Tour
event. Did you miss the cut?
I think I did both times.
Okay, that's why I didn't keep going. Two trunk slams. Let's go to the majors now.
But then, after I started to get really close with George and Wesley, and now they're like two of my best friends. But I think Wesley and I like truly, like we sat down one day and we were like talking about this and it was all just an idea. And then I remember George being involved as well. And like, we all kind of came together and we're like, what if we traveled around to major championships and tried to make the cut? And we started at Kiwa Island. And that was our first one ever. And it's like, it's a shot in the dark truly, because it's like, we don't know if this series is going to do well. Mm. And the coolest thing about the major cut series is the word the major cut makes no sense. So it's like for like SEO, if you're a YouTuber, it makes no sense. Like it's not, you're not optimizing anything. I guess major is a good term for golf videos. But it is cool now that the major cut, like people know that phrase and they're the second we upload one, it's like some of the hottest videos off of the rip.
Wow.
Like, and it doesn't even make sense. Like it truly doesn't. So it is really cool how it's all transpired.
Let me ask you this, just Grant, just maybe it's a bigger picture question, but we talk a lot about, you know, PGA Tour, the product, ways we can, you know, upgrade that or reimagine that. And given what you've built, this really strong, devoted audience, a very different world, very different type of audience you're serving. When you think about, like, if we put you in charge for a day of PGA Tour improving product, where are some of the first places you might start?
You're a councilman.
That's a loaded question. I'm actually not. I'm not on the council at large.
You know,
No, I've always remained pretty much in the middle. So I truly believe the most powerful thing, like, coming up in the near future is basically what happened at the Duel. So I think if you were to take a creator and you pair them with a pro, they're a team. Mm-hmm. And now you're playing for money. So you have a money element, you have a pro and a creator. You have three different really enticing things. You combine those and you're going to create videos that get multi million. So like the Duels video, it was the first time we've ever done anything like it. We had like a couple day turnaround. It still came out solid. It's not to the level that we wanted it, but it's still very solid. And we'll check back probably in, let's give it 5 months, 4 months maybe. And this video could have 3 to 4 million views, which that's a like 4 million golfers. That's a ton of people. And these are truly engaged views. Like you have to, in YouTube, you have to actually like click on the video and watch it for 15 seconds, I believe, for it to count as a view. So these are not just like, you know, it's playing in the background at a restaurant. You know, these are like truly engaged viewers. And so, yeah, it was an absolute success. But it, like, back to your question, if you're telling me, like, what's the next, how would you create maybe the most eyeballs on the tour? I would say it's essentially taking, you know, Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and getting these guys to basically be involved in these videos. And they're giant videos. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I feel like that is truly how you create the biggest impression.
Do you think that would affect ratings in a positive way? Or do you think it would just be another way to personalize and get to know these players even better? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I definitely think it does, because I feel like we have a demographic, especially from what I've felt and what I've seen, is there's a ton. We've kept it family friendly. So we have the ages from, you know, let's say
Dude Perfect is the one who started that whole thing, right?
Yeah. But we never, there's no cussing in our videos. Yeah. Like we keep it very family friendly. And our idea is that like somebody can sit in the living room with their family and watch a video. And we don't want the parents to be like, oh, the kids can't be here. Like I want everybody to watch the videos. And I feel like it's been a great model. And that's, you know, that's a demographic that they've been so invested into YouTube, the younger ages, like, let's just say 10 to 17 years old. They watch, you know, that's like, if I go to a junior tournament, like there, it's rare that a kid does not know YouTube golf. Like it is every single
one. Crazy,
it
right?
Never misses. And I feel like, but it's fast paced golf, YouTube. There's cuts, there's edits. And so for them to go from YouTube golf, which a lot of them watch, to then a slower paced event, it probably, I'm not saying, I don't know all the answers, but I would say they're probably really watching a lot of YouTube golf and maybe not as much slower paced golf.
So the one question I asked earlier that I just wanted to follow up on, talking about all the footage that it takes to edit, you said your channel and the Duels Live, how many editors y'all need for that whole, because that had to be a massive file to try to go through.
You say 8? 25.
Yeah. 25 editors?
Yeah. When if you look in the background of the Duels, you're seeing these giant broadcast cameras and everything. Like I said, this was our first one, so it was a quick turnaround. But I'll tell you one thing. Everybody worked really hard. It was a great week. We had tons of fun. The guys that were involved in it, Bubba, Phil, Sergio, they were having a great time and they were laughing. And it was just so much fun. Like Neiman, every single person involved was just so awesome. But yeah, it was definitely the highest produced video we've ever tried to pull off. There were so many camera angles, so many, like we basically took which was really cool, which was the coolest part about it was it would switch from basically a YouTube video to then it would jump into the broadcast. So it'd switch from what people are used to, which is the YouTube feel being up and close and personal, because people are dying to, like, you know, they want to see Scottie Scheffler just hanging out. They want to see Jordan Spieth hanging out. They don't get that. And I, you know, like, that's something that they really want to see. And so when you go from, like, the personal, like, DJ right here, and you're, like, up close in his face, and we're just, like, he's just hanging out, talking, you know, like he normally does with his boys, to then going over to the broadcast, it was something, it was like a hybrid that, you know, like I said, we've never done. And it was, there's a lot of really cool things that came from it.
All right. So as we wind down this interview, this has been a great conversation. I got a couple more questions as we get out the door. Favorite collab that you've done to this point and your dream collab that you have on your radar?
Yeah. So favorite collab, I'm going to say the Phil Mickelson, my first ever match with Phil. So he tricked me on the first hole. Said there's like these gnarly flyers out of the rough here at this course. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, they're like gnarly here. And so like I went and I took like less club or I don't remember exactly how it went. Dead flyers. Oh, yeah. It was dead flyers. Okay, so yeah, let's.
What does that even mean? What is a dead flyer?
It's like it doesn't. It comes out like dead.
Oh,
like
okay,
it's gonna come out short.
Oh, and now.
So I went to go get. Yeah, so I went to go get more club. So I was like, he's like, they come out dead out of this room. And I went and got more club and flew the green OB on the first hole of our match.
Was this Rancho Santa Fe?
This was.
All right, so I played the US Junior there back when I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
So that's like a little, it's a short par four uphill that second shot. Yep. And then there's that, I guess it's a road or back there.
Yeah. Oh, I was on the road.
Oh man.
Yeah. That's a fun course. That's a really fun
course. Yeah. It's a great course.
So yeah, the first time I ever filmed with Phil tricked me into that. And that was like kind of his first time on YouTube, truly. And so yeah, that was awesome. I would say that was my favorite collab I've ever done. Now I've had some, I love the JT one we just did. That was awesome. JT chipped in on the final hole.
It was great. Like, cause he kind of went in YouTube mode there, didn't he?
He did. Like he was talking to the camera. Like he knew what he was doing, you know?
Yeah.
He was ready for it. We had such a great day and like, it was really cool cause JT lives in Jupiter. And so he's like right down the street and like, you would think I'm always filming in Jupiter with all the guys, but that was like the first time I've ever filmed in Jupiter with someone. Like just, yeah.
You know the JT, he was a content creator back in 2016. Like JT, Jordan, Ricky.
We talked about it. You happen to be a part of that.
We walk so you could run.
Yeah, you're right. Know what I mean? You actually started golf content creation. If it wasn't for you
How
guys.
How old would you have been in 2016?
Yeah, I was still in diapers. Yeah, I was.
I'm over here. I'm looking every morning. Yeah. Like, there's another gray hair.
Yeah. No, 2016, man, I was in high school. I graduated in 2017. So I'm probably 16 years old.
So you had Snapchat. You're probably vibing with it.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I was watching the entire thing. Yeah. It was, and people talked, they still talk about it. Like it still gets aired.
Wow.
It was so cool. You guys were at Baker's Bay, right?
That's right.
That's awesome.
Allegedly.
Yeah. we won't talk about it. But dream collab, I would say would be Phil and I versus Tiger and Charlie.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And that is for sure the one we're working on.
Okay.
So, love that.
We'll see.
We need to get that Achilles right. I'm sure Charlie's ready to run out the door and go play.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Charlie's awesome. We actually play a good bit together in Jupiter, playing with him Friday.
Great.
Actually. Maybe. So he's awesome and we have a great time together. And he's maturing and getting so much better at golf. I was actually, when I did the video with Tiger, we got to talk about Charlie for a little bit before the video started and like, he's just growing up super fast and hitting the ball so far. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun hanging with him, but that would be our dream collab for sure.
Can we get a quick broomstick report before we head out? I'm a notorious putter tinker on the show and I really like love to dive into what people are using.
Yeah.
We saw that big birdie putt on 17 at Sawgrass.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about the switch of the broom?
I'm telling you one thing. I don't make that putt if I'm not using a broomstick. Yeah.
My hands wouldn't have been there, huh?
Oh, sweeper.
Did someone put you on the sweeper?
Hold on. That's right. The sweeper. I'm about to get. Yeah. It is a sweeper.
Who put you on the sweeper?
So, the main reason I switched the sweeper, I film with Adam Scott. Me and Adam. That was also a great one. Like,
Adam's the best.
It's so hard to pick one of the collabs. Like, I feel like I just nailed Phil, but like, there are so many great ones. Like, Adam was so fun to be around. The coolest guy. Like, dude, he's just got this way about him and his swing and everything. It was so cool. But him using the long putter, the way he uses it, it's actually like, I think he looks the most comfortable out of anybody I've ever seen using it. Akshay's doing great with it too.
Is he putting good?
Yeah. But Adam, I think even I was with Akshay the other day and he literally said like, he's trying to even feel more probably like Adam, just because Adam, he takes it so long and he's like, it's like a pendulum. And the weight of the putters, they're so heavy, these sweepers. So you kind of just use the weight of the putter. Once you get this comfortable, I like to feel this elbow actually point towards the target. Akshay was saying, like, right when I switched to it, he texted me like the next day and was like, make sure when you're using the sweeper that you basically, when you get it here, you point your elbow.
Down the target
line. This has to go down the target line, this left elbow. And he said, make sure your head stays still. So those are the two points he gave me. Because if your head moves, it actually changes the
plane. You could chunk it.
You can do a lot of things. But it's been a great switch for me. I've noticed tons of improvement, especially I always find myself in these super stressful, just pressure moments. And like, it was the one reason like why I didn't want to like play competitive golf or go pro, because like I was like, I just like, I'm not huge into like the real serious competitive like pro events. Like it's too much, like everyone's quiet. I'm very competitive and I like playing matches with like my friends, but it just feels like now I'm always finding myself, whether it's a 2v2 with Phil, like I have a huge putt and Phil's like, come on, Grant, like be good, like be great. And I'm like, holy crap. Like I'm like sitting there like, how do I be great? Like I don't even, and so like, and it seems like the sweeper, it's just like when I'm shaking over the ball, like it helps, man.
Really?
Like it really. Yeah. It's truly helped me a ton.
Do you have any desire to ever play in a PGA Tour event?
That's a great question. Can I talk about it?
Yeah. Go for
it. So I recently got an invite into the Barracuda.
Come on.
Yeah.
Reno.
Yeah, it's yeah. That's so amazing. It's really cool. But I don't know where I'm at right now on it. I don't know if I'm like, I don't know if I'm there. I feel like it's a little bit, I don't know. Like I'll see where my game progresses maybe over the next little bit.
What do you need to see? Is it more so, do you want to be competitive or do you just want to just check the box?
Yeah, it's definitely, so like I said, I've never expected this. Like the Creator Classic was the most nervous I've ever been. You know, I stood up there, there was like 2,000 people waiting on the first tee. I don't know.
And it's not an easy tee shot.
No, it's not. And I'm like,
it's actually a nightmare.
And I'm freaking out. And I'm like, I'm over that ball about to like drop dead. Like my heart is like out of my chest. And I'm like literally thinking about why I like stopped competitive golf. I'm like, this feeling, like I can't feel anything right now. And I'm just like, anywhere, like just get it out there. So I made contact, which was great. And somehow shot even par. Like looking back at it, I always talk to Josh and I'm like, how did we actually win that? Like I rarely beat George or Wes. And I'm like, how did we do that? Wow. And especially making the putt on 17, like that just, fired amazing. Me up. Yeah, because it was like, I didn't want to just lag it up there. Like to make, it was a huge breaking putt left to right.
Yeah.
And we made it, but it, that was like my most recent taste of like true competition and like getting in there. And it's definitely a tough one. I just don't know where I'm at right now.
Do you worry, like when you're weighing pros and cons, are you worried about like detriment to brand versus like continued exposure? Cause like, I guess I just wonder, you've had a pretty amazing exposure across the board to build the audience you have. So at this point, it feels like it's more about a managing your brand type situation. Is that a right way to think about it?
Yeah, that's definitely a great way to put it. it's not that, you know, I truly believe in my game and I think I'm not going to shoot some crazy high score like I did at Quail.
Definitely not a teaser.
No. But I'll tell you one thing. When you play with the pros, you just realize how much better they are. And it's hard for me to play with the John Rahms and the Phils and all these guys and sit there and be like, I'm going to go tee it up and even just give it a go. Like, they're so good at golf. And it's like, yeah, I'll hit a lot of high quality golf shots, as Wesley would say. He always like tries to hype me up and be like, you hit just as many high quality shots, but it's truly a whole nother level. And it's just hard for me like to even put myself, cause I didn't expect it. Mm-hmm. Obviously the invite. So I'm definitely, yeah, I got to process it.
It's like watching this guy play.
Yeah, Charlie,
I've seen him hit some pretty dang good.
Yeah, help me out here, Charlie. So Grant, as we all know, with the matches with the PGA Tour pros, gives guys five shots. Let's say we played straight up. What are you setting the odds?
You two playing straight up.
Oh.
And I'm odds making.
Wait, where's your game at right now?
I've played twice this year, and I can't remember where the first time even was. So I did play Players Week because I saw you in the same day.
Yes. I did, yeah.
I played great that day, but I don't remember the other time I played this year.
Did you played the ocean course, the same course that I was at?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
We did half shots, which is kind of fun, at Tobacco Road. I'm trying to think what I would set you all at for odds.
Set the odds here.
I mean, I think if you have...
So maybe I start at even, he starts 5 under? Is that where...
I would take it.
I think you probably should, you know, out of deference to your PGA Tour winner status and having played in the final group of the Masters, you probably got to cut Grant like two aside. Is that right? Or like three or three total? Is that disrespectful? Like, I mean, no, I don't know.
I bet Smiley would go out there and play great. Like he hasn't played much golf. I feel like you probably have no expectations going into it. You might go out there and sneaky play great, but I would 100%.
I tell you what, I don't know, man. When you get on these big channels now, it brings back the old memories of a little scar tissue in there, Grant.
It is funny. I got to say.
And shipping's harder now than it used to be.
Yeah, I don't do it as much. Though, and all the 5 under challenges, I actually was telling JT this on the first hole. Everybody has got off to a rocky start. And it's not like... I don't think,
pressure of YouTube.
No, I would never say that because these guys are all like, they're used to this. I just think it's totally different. I think I asked Tony Finau like on the second hole. I was like, were you nervous? He was like, oh yeah. Like I was, because he said his kids watch.
And
it's like,
he didn't want
to
get heat.
I think
the
he
kids.
Wanted to be the cool dad. Like I think he did it just to be the cool dad, like to go on the channel.
And these guys don't want to lose either. Right.
Right. No, like, Tony, like he doesn't want to lose, but like every single match, like even Adam was like 3 over through 5.
Yeah.
And like I'm just watching these guys and I'm like, what's, because they're also trying to talk to the camera, so there is a big adjustment when you're trying to talk to the camera and explain shot and then go hit it. But yeah, it is like JT played great. He was like, he kind of beat the, it actually was pretty close now that I think of it. He was like 2 under or something through 3. He was moving, and then I think he kind of like, yeah, no one's like killed it. Yeah. Like no one's like shot. Oh, Morikawa.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Guy's stone cold,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Do we like Morikawa beat me by 12
on
the back, and we were tied after the front.
Oh boy.
Like straight up. So we both shot like, I think we were both even.
He's pretty good at golf.
Do you like calling this week?
Yeah. I do. So that's actually.
Yeah. Who's your pick this week? Is on the way out.
That's
it's Wednesday of the Masters.
Yeah.
This will be released after the Masters.
If so you're going to
look really smart right now.
Yeah, Morikawa is the hardest one to go against. I actually, Webb Simpson came up today to our group at a Quail, and that's his pick, is Colin Morikawa.
Okay,
and
so you're going to go with Charlie on this.
This week.
Yeah, I think Morikawa is really hard. I mean, I'll tell you one thing, though, and this is not because, like, we have a series together, but Phil is sneaky strifing it.
Is he right now?
Like it's really impressive. Okay. And he's hitting it dead straight.
Wow.
Like on a rope. He hits almost every fairway now. And this is like a whole different Phil. And he's won there 3 times. So I'm like, and he's been playing good.
We tied for second, or was he solo
second
2 years
ago?
Yeah. That would be so cool to me to watch that. But yeah, like John Rahm, Morikawa, those two, I'm going to go with.
I'm on DeChambeau. How do we feel there? He had 7,000 balls on the range, according to the ball counter.
You know what's funny?
Five different like, driver heads, too.
Bryson, like, I'm pretty sure he doesn't ever hit any balls when he's, like, home. Like, I don't think he goes out there and beats balls. I was talking to his videographer, and he was like, yeah, he, like, never – he doesn't practice much. Like just, he'll just hit on a simulator.
Just a bit for the cameras, I guess.
But no, but when he shows up to an event, he's ready. Like just Bryson grinding. Prepares and he hits a ton of balls. It just shows how like naturally just, talented
it
he
just
is.
Gets right back into golf. Though.
Yeah, Bryson's a good pick. Bryson's a great pick.
All right, well, Grant. Well, Charlie and I are super appreciative, man. You took a lot of time, of course, in a busy schedule that you have. And we learned a lot about you. And I think a lot of folks that tune into our channel are going to love your insights. And of course, we're going to keep an eye on the Barracuda and your course record at Quail Hollow. Yeah. So all of these things in the cooker. So Grant, right. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys.
And we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Smiley, really cool to connect with a guy like Grant. We're sort of dabbling in this world now. We talked to the Bryan Bros. I might have talked to a few additional people in the space to get to know it better as we kind of endeavor to be like, you know, semi-YouTubers. But I'd say at the very least, super interesting to pick Grant's brain and just chart his journey.
There were some nuggets dropped.
There were a lot of nuggets dropped. There were some scoops.
There's some scoops.
A lot of scoops in there.
A lot of scoops.
We're kind of Big J now. You know, we did press conference questions of the Masters, and then we did scoops the same week. We might be a real journalistic powerhouse here.
You know who our lucky charm is?
Who's that?
Bert.
Bert's our guy.
Shout out to Bert.
Shout out Bert, who will join Larry in the Smiley Show pantheon of gnomes. And it's a growing collection.
I was such a hater on the gnomes thing.
You kind of come around on an RT.
I am so kind of in on the gnome thing right now because Bert is a BA. I mean, that is such a cool little look. I mean, got a little, Bert, like he's got a tummy. It's awesome.
He's got a tummy. He's got a good looking button down. Let me tell you, you know, at time of recording, this is Sunday of the Masters. I saw something very funny unfold in front of me with relation to the gnomes today while I waited for Bryan Big Plum, who was hiding outside. We're not going to get into that on the show. But there was like, it was a couple and they were clearly like frantically shopping and they like had a budget and you know, the certain things that he really wanted. And so he like set down his bag and his wife was like, don't you think we should get a gnome? Like, I just feel like we should kind of get a gnome. And he's like, holding up a polo and trying to decide whether he wants the polo or the gnome. I don't know how he talked her out of the gnome, but it was very much like a, you dragged me here to this golf tournament and I want to get this thing that people care about on social media. And he shot it down. I really would have loved to see him throw the gnome in the gift basket.
Yeah.
As it's kind of a tough scene. Yeah. So there you have it. Bert, Larry, Smiley Show Gnomes. Hope you enjoyed the Grant Horvath conversation. Coming back to life this week, you're back home in Birmingham. We got the RBC Heritage. Anything you want to send the good people out on before we depart Augusta, Georgia?
Yeah, no, thank you for tuning in all week. It's obviously to be able to bring an episode like this to you the week after. We're going to just keep riding the wave, and hopefully Charlie can not only find a wave, but maybe even get a boogie board to locate the ocean to help us out with Instagram Live picks on Wednesday for our one and done. Charlie needs to really... see the board. So maybe that drive home Monday morning, he'll just start, you know, forecasting what's going to happen this coming week at the RBC Heritage because we got to get back on it.
I need a kick in the butt. This week was not the week. I'd call Morikawa.
You burned him.
I burned him. We'll get back after it. Don't forget to tune in Instagram this week. On IG Live, One and Done Picks, RBC Heritage. So that's what we got next. We appreciate you watching and listening as always. We'll talk to you right back here very soon.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first lovely time. Fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people on YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.